We begin the current daf, Masechta Shabbos, daf Dal. We begin 6 lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing a discussion that was brought up in the previous daf that came in related to the sugi that we're discussing in Shabbos. Now the Gemara discusses that topic over here. The Gemara begins, Gufa, we learned the text as follows. Boyer of Bibi Bar Abaya, and Bibi Bar Abaya asked the following question. Hedvik pas betana, someone attached bread to the oven walls, that is, he took some dough. And then the question was, did they permit the person to be over the Issa Drabbanan of removing the bread from the oven, which is Issa of Radiyah, because although you would think it's just taking it off the oven, however, that's what's called Chachmah, it's not an actual Malacha, but there's something of Chachmah that goes into that. Therefore, the Chacham said that there's an Issa Drabbanan to remove it from the oven. So the question was, do we allow him to be over to transgress a rabbinic Issa before it's going to come to a chiyuv chatas, which that he'll be over the issur d'oraisa of having the dough baked into bread, which is one lamatas malachas, and he'll be have to bring a karma chatas. Did they permit him to, so to speak, go and transgress the smaller issur before it gets to the bigger issur, or did they not permit him? That was the question that was brought in the previous Gemara. Now the Gemara discusses this question. Hey, what is the actual scenario? What's the case that's happening? It's talking about a case where the person that put in the bread, he did it by mistake. He didn't realize he's going to, so to speak, being doing malach of Shabbos and baking the dough. And he did not realize before that it was baked. He didn't realize that he had done this mistake. He didn't know that it's Shabbos or that this malacha was Aser. So again, he did it initially by mistake. And he didn't even remember that it was happening. In other words, no one told him that he did anything wrong. He thought it's not Shabbos. He thought he's not doing anything wrong. So the question is, Laman Hitiru. So what was the whole question? Who are they permitting that no one's coming to ask the question about that if you're allowed to because this person doesn't know any better? In other words, he, so to speak, he didn't know that this is an Isser. So he put it in and he did it by mistake. Now who's coming to ask before bakes if you're allowed to take it down or not? So then therefore the Gemara says, Ve'ilalavdi hadavidka. Obviously you have to say, it's told me that subsequently the person recalled before it was baked that this is wrong, either that he knew that, wait a second, today is Shabbos, or he realized that, hey, this is us to do, it's us to bake. So if that's the scenario that we're talking about, that the question was, do we allow him to take it off before he comes to the Chiyuv Chatas and to be over this Rabbanon or not? But the question is, how can you have such a question? Mi mechayiv? Is someone even liable for a Chatas if it would ultimately bake in this type of situation where, again, he put it in by mistake, again, that he didn't know it's Shabbos or he didn't know it's wrong, then it didn't bake yet. Before it basically goes, wait a second, this is wrong. It's going to be baking. I'm going to be over chiyuv chatas. Question is, when a person recalls in between, before the issur is done, that he's doing something wrong, the question the Gemara is posing right now is, how can you ask the question, is a person even liable for a chatas if he realizes what he's doing is wrong? But number, we learn in the Mishnah as follows. Kol chiyuv chatoyis, anything that you're chayiv, that you're liable for a karba chatas for, that is anything that's a chiyuv of karas that you have, that you do by mistake, you're not liable for the carbon only if the beginning of the act that you did wrong was by mistake, and the end of it, all the way till the end, was also by mistake. And that is the beginning of the malacha and the end. It has to be that you never found out what you're doing is wrong, and that it was, so to speak, unintentional, until the aver is totally done. So therefore, this person, where he recalls in between, so to speak, before the end of the malacha is done, that this is wrong, so now it's, so to speak, bemazed. It's intentional. It's not, so to speak, inadvertent that it's, so to speak, he didn't know it's wrong. If that's the case, so he's not even going to get to the chiyuv chatas in the first place. So of course he can't take down the bread. So therefore, what's the question? Do we allow him, so to speak, be over the issur d'rabbanan, or does he have to be liable for the chiyuv chatas? There's not going to be a chatas because he wasn't b'shogeg when the malacha then was done. So the Gemara says, you have to say, el b'mezid, that it's talking about that the person that initially put in the dough into the bread for it to bake, he did intentionally that he didn't care that it was going to be over on the issur. So the Gemara says, that's not possible to say that this was the question that Rabbi Bibi was asking, because Kain Meshiyabal de Isra Skil Mebayle, then the way he should have posed the phrase of the question should have been that did they permit him to take it down before it comes to Achiv Skila? Because when you do a B'mezid, then it's intentional and then you get your stone for what you did wrong. Not a Chatas, which was done B'shoigig. So if this person did a B'mezid, the question should have been that it's before you come to Skila, not a Karma Chatas. So obviously, it's not that he did a B'mezid. So therefore, the Gemara is back to the question, what is this case? That did we permit him to take it down before it's too late, that it comes to Chiyuv Chatas? There is no such case. So I'm Rav Shila la'olam b'shogeg. In truth, it's talking about a case when the person put on the dough by mistake. He didn't mean to be over on the issur d'oraisa of baking bread on Shabbos. Well, man hatiru lachem. The question the Gemara was asking was, that Rabbi Abaye was posing, was did it permit other people to go ahead? In other words, after the person saw that he put on the bread, he comes in front of Bezos and says, what should I do? Could I take it down before my friend comes to be over on the Isser Deiraisa? He's going to have to bring a Kamachatis. And all I'm going to be doing is a smaller Isser of the Rabbanan. And that was Rabbi Bibi's question. Can someone else be over on the Isser Rabbanan before someone else that did the act is going to get an Isser Deiraisa? Toshi Gemara asks, Masav Lo Rav Sheshes, can that really be that Rabbi Bibi had such an option that someone else should be over Isra Abanan instead of his friend being over Isra Deraisa? Do we tell somebody, to a person, that you go ahead and you do a smaller sin so that your friend should gain and that he won't be over on a greater sin? That doesn't make sense. Why should we have someone being over in Isra when the other person, it was his negligence? So the Gemara says, correct. And the case is a different case. Really, it's talking about the one that put on the dough, he did it intentionally, even though he said, I'm going to be over the Issa Deiraisa baking at Shabbos. However, you have to amend, so to speak, the question of Rabbi Babai, that the question was, this question, do we allow him, so to speak, now that he has charati, he regrets that he's going to be over Issa Deiraisa. He sees the clock ticking and soon he's going to be chayiv for his Issa of Skila. So he wants to know, can I be over Issa Deirabanan before I come to the chiv of Skila? And the Gemara says, Rav Acha Breda, the Rav Masni La Behedya, that he learns this explicitly, that Rabbi Bibi's statement was regarding Skila, not regarding Karban Chatas. And moreover, he learned it, that it wasn't a question, it was a direct statement that Rabbi Bibi held clearly that Om Rabbi Bibi, Hidvik Pas Batan, of a person attaches bread to the oven, that they permitted the person to remove the bread, and that's in that way to be over Issa Drabanan before it comes to be that he'll be over an Issa that mandates Skila, and that he'll get stoned. We allow him to sort of be over the smaller Issa instead of having the ramifications of the greater Issa. Now the Gemara goes and quotes a statement from our Mishnah that said, Pashur Anis Yadi, if the pauper extends his hand into Rishus HaYachir where the householder is, and then he puts it into the hand of the householder, then he's chayiv. And that is, he did Akira and Anocha. We know that regarding the Malacha Beitzah, which is transferring from one domain to another domain, you have to do an Akira, which means to lift it up from that one domain. And then you have to do the second half of the Malacha, which is to place it down, the Hanocha, in the other domain. So here the poor person, he went and he picked up whatever it is from Rosh Hashanah. He put it into the householder's hand, so he did the Akira and the Hanocha. But then the Gemara asks, Amai Chayiv, why is the pauper liable? V'habi'in Akira v'Hanocha, we need to have something, a lifting and a placing, which the pauper is doing, but it has to be al gabi mokum dalad al dalad. It has to be from an area and onto an area that's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, which is a mokum chashiv, to be considered that his hanocha, that his placement is a placement, and that his lifting should be considered a lifting. And the person's hand is not 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. And still in our Mishnah we learn that both regarding the Akira and both regarding the Hanocha, it says, that if he places it into the hand of the householder, that is considered a Hanocha placement. And then it says a case of that he took it from his hand, they were considering that Akira of lifting up. How can that be considered an Akira and Hanocha if it's not from a place that's Dalad al Dalad, and that's not considered Makam Chashav? So it shouldn't be an Akira and Hanocha. So why is the pauper liable? So the Gemara says, Amirabu Hamani Rebbe Kiva. Who is the town of our mission? It's Rebbe Kiva. The Amal Lebi'in Mokum Arba Al Arba, that he says, as the Gemara is going to prove, that a person does not need to have a place of an area of 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim to be considered an Akira and Anocha. The Nan has learned in the Mishnah. Hazerik Mirshus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRam Be'emtzev. Someone throws something, an object, from a private domain to another private domain through the airspace of a public domain that's in between. So there's a machloikis in the Mishnah. Rebbe Kiva Mechayiv. The Chacham Paitrim Kibbeh holds that the person is liable for transferring from one domain to another, and the Chacham holds that he's an exempt, as explains. Rebbe Kiva Sover, Amrinan Kluta Kemisha Honchadami. Rebbe Kiva holds that we consider something that's contained in an area as if it came to rest in that area. So therefore, this object, since it's, so to speak, contained in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah as it's passing through, we consider it as if it actually rested in that area, even though it didn't literally rest. And therefore, one is going to be chayiv for haitzah because it went from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. For Rabban Savri, lo yamin nikud dekemish hanchadami. But however, the Rabban hold that something that's contained in the airspace, we don't consider as if it's rested. And therefore, you don't need to have, according to Rabbi Kiva, we find that you don't have to have, so to speak, that it should be resting on the mokum of dalal al dalad. Because as we see, that it's, even if it's colored, if it's just so to speak contained in the airspace, which it didn't rest on anything, that he considers it as halachically as if it was, so to speak, resting over there. Definitely a hand, which is for sure in that airspace, that wherever it is, if it's household in Rosh HaYachar or the Ani in Rosh HaShram, that's considered as if it's in that area. So for sure we see that Rabbi Kiva would hold that one would be chayiv, that it's considered a kira and a nacha, even if it's not on the makam of dalal al dalal. So that's what the town of Mishnah, it's Rabbi Kiva. And the Rabbanan hold that no, they don't consider something just being contained in the airspace, that it's as if it rested. It actually has to rest on the place of dalal al dalal. So now the Gemara asks, on this, lememer de pshita le rabbi, is it obvious to Rabba that he explains our Mishnah like Rabbi Kiva, and that is regarding this machloikis that we mentioned between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, that the beklute kamisha hunchadami, that something that's contained in the airspace as if it rested down, and then we continue on to Amud Beis, ubetoich asor pligin, that the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim was regarding this svara, regarding if something is under 10 tefachim in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, because if it was higher than 10 tefachim in the area of the Rosh Hashanah as it's flying through from one private domain to another, that airspace is not considered Rosh Hashanah. Rather, as the Gemara says somewhere else, that it's considered the airspace of a Mokum Ptur, which is an area which is an exempt that you can carry from anywhere to there. So there, even if it's higher than 10 tefachim, even kolot you don't have. It's not even going to be considered contained. So obviously, if Rabbah's holding that the machlokes of Kiva and the Chachamim is regarding this svara about if klutu kamisha hanchadomi, if something that's contained in the airspace as if it rested there. So obviously he says that the machlokes is when it's lower than 10 tefachim. So now you're in the airspace at least of Rosh Hashanah. So it's contained there. So he's saying Rabbi Kiva says that it's like it's placed there, and therefore he's the town of our mission that holds you don't have to have it resting at all, even. So definitely it doesn't have to be resting on the makam dal dal. Whereas the Chachamim are saying that no, even though it's in the airspace, since it's only contained, it's not as if it's resting. However, if that's how he's saying that that's the machlek, is Bahami Boya Boya La Rabba. But Rabba was obviously in doubt because he asked a question about what was their machlekes. The Boya Rabba posed the following question. What is this machlekes, Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, of if you're chayiv when you throw from one Rosh Hashanah to another through Rosh Hashanah? Is it that Lamata Miyud Pligi or Bahog Pligi, and that is, are they arguing when it's that you threw it through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah lower than 10 Fachim? And the machlekes is that Rabbi Kiva saw a klute kamisha hanchadami, that Rabbi Kiva holds that within it's contained in the airspace as if it came to rest. And Rabban Sabri learned meaning klute kamisha hanchadami, and the Rabban hold that no, although it's in the airspace, but since it didn't actually rest, it's not considered as if it rested, although it's so to speak contained in the airspace. But if it was higher than 10 tefachim, then everybody, both Rabbi Kiva and the Chum, would agree that one is exempt because it's not even that in the airspace. So therefore, even Rabbi Kiva, who holds that klute kamisha hanchadami, that when it's contained, it's as if it's resting, but higher than 10 tefachim, it's not contained in that airspace because it's now in the airspace of the makam tur, which is higher than 10 tefachim. So there, everybody would agree that you're exempt. And with the kula amalo yilfin and zerik mimoshin, that is based on that everyone agrees that you don't learn the halacha of throwing something from the halacha of handing something over. That is, regarding the halacha of passing something from one Rosh HaYachad to another Rosh HaYachad through a Rosh HaRam, through a public domain, regarding passing over, it's even higher than 10 tefachim that one is liable. As the Gemara in Perek HaZorik says, that we learn now from the agolos, the wagons that were in the Midbar, in the desert, at the times when they were building the Mishkan, where we learn out the Lamates Melochas from, that they used to pass the krushim, the different the woods that would hold up, they were, so to speak, the walls that held up the Mishkan. They would pass them from one to another. And that was the agolos. Each wagon was considered Rosh Hashanah. It was a private domain. And through them, they were, when they're passing from one wagon to another, was Rosh Hashanah in the public domain. And they wouldn't throw it so that the planks shouldn't get ruined. So therefore, there we find that we learn out that that was the Isra of transferring. So therefore, although that, so to speak, handing over is liable even higher than 10 tefachim, but both Rabbi Kiva and the Chum, they hold that you don't learn up the halacha of throwing from the halacha of passing, and since it passes over 10 tefachim, it's totally potter. Is that their machlekes? Or maybe, Rabbi said, l'mayla meyud pligi. Maybe their only machlekes is regarding when it's higher than 10 tefachim. In other words, when you threw from Rosh HaYachad to another Rosh HaYachad, it passed through Rosh HaRam higher than 10 tefachim in the airspace. And this is the machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabban. Rabbi Kiva sabi alfin and zerik mimoish. Rabbi Kiva learns the halachas of throwing something from one rishos to another, from the halachas of passing through. That is just like we find over there by the agolos in the midbar when they transferred the krushim from one of the wagons to the other. That was going from rishos yachad to rishos yachad higher than 10 tefachim through the rishos rabim. That you're liable for the transferring of from one domain to another through rishos rabim. So too, when you're throwing from rishos yachad to rishos yachad through rishos rabim higher than 10 tefachim, then you're chayim. Rabban hold that you don't learn up the halachas of throwing from transferring. The transferring is a different type of a transference, and that's why it's going to be chayiv, whereas by throwing one will be potter. However, if both Rabbi Akiva and Rabban would agree that when it's lower than 10 tefachim, that you're throwing it through Rishas Yachad to through Rishas Rabban from one Rishas Yachad to another, then you would be chayiv my time. Well, what would be the reason? Because everyone would agree that the halacha is kolat, that when it's contained in an area, it's as if it came to rest in that space, and therefore everybody would agree. So therefore, how can we say that the town of our Mishnah Rabbi says is Rabbi Kiva? That because he argues on the Rabban on this idea, but Rabbi himself posed a question. He wasn't sure if this is what they argue on or not, and that everybody agrees to that concept. So the Gemara says, holy kasha, that's not a difficulty. Busted the bayah, how do ifshat delay? That's correct. That after he had posed a question, he answered the question, and that is the Savi Rabbi Kiva kul tikemisha hanchadami. That Rabbi Kiva is the one that holds that something that's contained as if it came to rest, and the Rabban argue on that, and it's like the first side, like the first option he had in his question about what the machlekes was about. And that is talking about lower than 10 tefachim, and that is what they debate if klut kemish hanchadami or not. And therefore, Reb Kiva is the town of our Mishnah that he holds that klut, that you don't have to have it resting on a place of dal on dal, because it doesn't have to rest at all. It has to just pass through the airspace as if it came to rest. And therefore, it's good enough if it goes from the hand of one to the hand of the other, from the ani to the balabais. So now the Gemara asks, however, v'dilma hanochahu deloy baya ho akira baya. You're trying to say the town of our Mishnah Rabbah is Reb Kiva. And that is, we find that when it's passing through Rishas Rabban, it's as if it was resting there. But maybe that's only regarding the halacha of hanocha, of placing down, that there one does not require to have, so to speak, resting on the makam of dal adal. But maybe regarding the akira, regarding lifting up, then it has to be from upon a place for it to be considered akira from that a place that's dal adal. And that is, we find Rabbi Kiva holds that one person, a person is chayiv, when again, when they're throwing from Rishas Yachad to Rishas Yachad through Rishas Rabban, that's because it doesn't need to have a hanocha. But regarding the Akira, maybe Reb Kiva requires a Makam Dal Adal. And that is, even a Raya is, because Reb Kiva didn't say that you're liable for two Haitzahs, one from Haitzah, of so to speak, taking out from Shas Yechad to Shas Rabim, and one from Hachnasa, of so to speak, bringing in from Shas Rabim to Shas Yechad. So obviously, from the fact that it only says you're Chayav one, is that you're only liable for the, so to speak, throwing it from Shas Yechad to Shas Rabim, that it doesn't need to have Anacha. But from Rishas Rabban to Rishas Yachad, when it, so to speak, continues its journey to the next Rishas Yachad, as it went from one to the other through the airspace of Rishas Rabban, then it doesn't say that you're liable a second Chattas, because that's not considered Akira, because it wasn't resting in the place of Dal and Dal. So therefore, how could he be the town of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says both in Akira and Hanacha, from the hand of the Ani to the hand of the Balabais, or in reverse, each way it's that it's being an Akira and Hanacha. When one takes from the other's hand, or when he puts in the other's hand, we said that you're going to be liable. Therefore, how could you say that the Tanav HaMishnah is Rabbi Kiva? He only tells it to us regarding Hanacha, but maybe not regarding Akira. So the Gemara says, Elomar Rav Yosef, it's someone else. Hamani, who is the Tanav HaMishnah that you're liable, even if it's, so to speak, an Akira or Hanacha? That's Rebbe. So the Gemara inquires, hi Rebbe, which Halacha of Rebbe are you referring to? Ile Mahar Rebbe, if you're talking about that statement of Rebbe, the Tanya that we learned in the Braisa, Zarak V'noch Al Gabi Ziz Kolshu, if someone threw something in Rishas Rabban from the beginning of Dalad Amos to the end of Dalet Amos, and then it rested on a small protrusion. And that is, any piece of wood that comes out of the wall is called a ziz, it's called a protrusion. So again, you threw it from a Dalet Amos, which is considered Haitzah, it's considered the halach of the Issa Haitzah if it travels 4 Amos in Rosh Hashanah, but then it lands on this small protrusion. Rabbi Mechayev, Vacham Poit, Rabbi holds that the person is liable for transferring an object 4 Amos in Rosh Hashanah, and Vacham holds that you're exempt. So obviously we see that from the fact that Rebbe holds that you're chayiv, is that you don't have to have hanocha on a makam dal. It doesn't have to rest on a place that's 4x4 because it's a small protrusion. The chacham hold that you're pater, although you, so to speak, carried something 4 amos, but you didn't do a hanocha because it's now on a small protrusion. It's not, has to be at least 4x4 tvachim. Whereas Rebbe holds that you're chayiv, obviously that even that he holds that it doesn't have to have an akir and hanocha of a makam dal al dal. So the Gemara says that Hasim could be even that is a totally different halacha. It's like it was necessary to explain this halacha as Abaye did. And that is for a different reason. It's not because it doesn't have to have hanocha on a makam dal dal. In reality, the Rebbe holds it also has to have a hanocha on makam dal dal. And therefore, he's not the town of our Mishnah if it was coming from this halacha. That is for a different reason on the case of Ziz Kalshu. Dama Abaye says, Hacha be'ilun ha'imid b'shusha yachid. Still, in a case of a tree that was standing in Rosh Hashanah in the private domain, then its branches extended into Rosh Hashanah, and now Vizark v'noch ad noifay. Now the person who was standing in Rosh Hashanah threw it and it landed on the branches, and that is the machlekes is as follows: the Rebbe Savar Amrin Shadi Noifay Basa Ikre. Rebbe holds that we accord the branches the same status as the trunk, and that is, it's as if that the tree is standing on Shus Rabim on a mokum of Dalad, because now we're considering the branch as a mokum of Dalad al Dalad, because although the branch is not a mokum of Dalad al Dalad, it's just a branch, however, it has the same halachic status as its root, as the trunk, and therefore it's going to be considered as itself, as a mokum Dalad al Dalad in Shus Rabim, in spite of the fact that the trunk is in Shus Ayachet. That we don't say this, that we accord the branches the status of the trunk. It's its own entity, and therefore, since the branches, if it was the trunk, then it would be Rishus HaYach. We're considering this in Rishus HaRab, and the branches are not Dal Dal, and therefore, one would be Potter versus Rabbi Yehud versus Rabbi that says that your Chayiv is because he considers it a Mokum Dal Dal, but not that you don't need to have a Mokum Dal Dal. Rather, that the Ziz itself, this branch coming out of the trunk, is considered a Mokum Dal Dal. So therefore, that can't be the source for who the Tan of our Mishnah is, because our Mishnah is talking about a place that's not Dal Dal. Elohar Rebbe, rather, is talking about the following statement of Rebbe. The Tan, like we learned in the Braisa. Zark Meshus HaRabim L'Shus HaRabim V'Shus HaYochad Be'emtzev. Someone's throwing from a public domain to another public domain, and it passes through a Rishus HaYochad, a private domain that's in between. Rebbe Mechayiv, a Chum Poit, Rebbe holds that the person is liable for transferring, and the Chum hold that one is exempt. And the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he explained that this Rabbi holds that you're liable is Mechayiv Hoy Rabbi Shtayim. Rabbi hold that you're liable for two Isur. And that is as if it rested in the Rishus HaYochad, as it was passing from Rishus HaRabim to the other Rishus HaRabim through the Rishus HaYochad, we view it as if it's rested there. And then, so to speak, that it started again, a new Akira lifted itself up again, and then it entered to the second Rishus HaRabim. So obviously we see that you don't have to have an Akira or Anacha from a Makam Dal Al Dal, because we consider this passing through the Rishus HaYochad as if it rested and as if it was lifted again. As the Gemara says, Achas Mishum Haitzav, Achas Mishum Achnosa, that Rebbe held that you were chayav for two Isurim in this case, one for taking out from the Rishus HaRabim and one for bringing in from the Rishus HaYochad. So Alma Loi Boi Akir V'Loi Anocha Gavi Mokam Dal Dal. So obviously Rebbe held that you don't have to have not a lifting up and not a resting down from a place or to a place that's four tvachim by four tvachim, and therefore he is the town of a Mishnah holds that's enough if the poor man put it into the hand of the house owner or took it from the hand of the house owner, then although the hand is not a makam dal dal, it doesn't make a difference. You don't need to have a makam dal dal, as we see in this case of when it's just passing through the Rishus HaYochad, we view it as if it's, so to speak, has an hanacha and an akira versus Rebbe Kiva. Before, we only saw that he held that you don't have to have hanacha, but we didn't see akira. Here we see both components. But the Gemara asks, how could this be the source of being the Tan of our Mishnah? We learned regarding this halacha that we just mentioned, regarding Rav and Shmuel, both of them said, and then we continue on to the top of Heymar Alv, that this was a special type of case. It wasn't just passing through a regular Rishus HaYochad, that Rebbe held the person is liable only if it passes through a roofed Rishus HaYochad, that has a roof. And that's because based on the following theory, that basic command, the Malyadami, we view the house as if it's full with objects. And that is something that's closed off from all sides, that it's and we view it as if it's filled with objects till the roof, and that the ear is not considered ear. And therefore, whatever is thrown inside of it, it's as if it rested in. And now that it passed through, it's as if it was, so to speak, was lifted up again. But if it's not roofed, then even Rebbe would agree that one would not be chayiv. So therefore, how could you say this Tan of our Mishnah? We're talking about a specific case that not like a regular Rishus HaYochad that has four walls, it has a roof. And that's based on that theory, nothing to do with the fact that it just comes to rest when it passes through the ear space. So therefore, maybe he does require Mokum Dal Al Dal. So then the Gemara says, and if you're going to say that our Mishnah is also talking about a case where it's roofed, and that's why it's good enough, so to speak, he took it from his hand and put it in his hand again, although we're not having Dal Al Dal, but since it's roofed, we view it as if it's totally filled up with objects and as if it rested there. So even if it's not on the Makam Dal Dal, we view it as if it is there because it is rested now that it's totally filled up. But that would only work for, so to speak, half of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah, that is regarding the Baal HaBayis, the house owner, that we said that regarding transferring from him to him, that it's considered Hoitzah, so that is the private domain that he lives in is roofed. But Rishus HaRabim Makur Michayiv, is a person liable for a case of when Rishus HaRabim is roofed? And that is, regarding the case of the Yani, which he's in Rishus HaRabim, can you even say that it's talking about that it's roofed? V'am Rav Shmuel by Yehuda Amri Ababa Amri Abhu No Amri Rav, we learned how Mavr Chavetz Dal Aramis in Rishus HaRabim Makur is Potter. If you transfer an object for Amis in Rishus HaRabim, which is generally considered Hoitza, if it's a roofed Rishus HaRabim, that one is Potter. And why is that? Because it's not compared to the encampment of the Jews. in the desert. And that is, we know that all the malachas of Shabbos are learned from the Mishkan, as the Gemara says later, from the fact that we have the parasha of Shabbos in the Torah next to the parasha of Mishkan and parasha of Vayakel. So therefore, since the case of Rishus HaRabim is can't be roofed, so therefore that can't be that it's the town of that Rebbe is the town of HaMishnah, because that case was Torah, a special case of when it's roofed, and that's what we view it as if it rested. But if it's an open area, it's not roofed, then even Rebbe would agree that we don't view it as rested, and that you would need a Mokam Dal Al Dalad. So therefore, he can't be the town of HaMishnah, because although the case of the Baal Bais, the house owner, could be talking about that it's a roofed Rosh Hashanah, so therefore when he puts it in, the pauper puts it into his hand, it's as if it's resting over there because it's roofed. But regarding the case of the poor man, when let's say the house owner puts it into his hand, the Rosh Hashanah can't be roofed, because then you won't be chayav for itself from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, because that's not considered Rosh Hashanah regarding the halachas of Shabbos, because in the Midbar it wasn't roofed. So therefore, even Rebbe would agree that it has to be a Mokam Adal Adalad, because the Rosh Hashanah wouldn't be roofed, and that therefore Rebbe cannot be the Tana of HaMishnah. And we'll continue on the next daf regarding, so who is the Tana of HaMishnah that says that even placing or removing from a hand is considered an Akira and Anacha, even though it's not a Mokam Adal Adalad, and the Rosh Hashanah is not going to be roofed.